let's take a look at the bond prices and yields worksheet number one. Now, I prefer that you do it before you listen and to this and take a, and go to the answer key, but how will I know? But these are very similar to the things we did in the presentation and on your assignment and on the what I might see on the exam. Number one, a bond that pays 9% is currently priced at $1,200. What is its nominal interest rate and what is the current interest rate? Well, I hope you don't get tripped up by this, but when you ask what the nominal interest rate is on a 9% bond, your answer should be 9%. What's your name, Bob? Bob. Right. What is another name for the nominal rate? Coupon rate. Exactly. So make sure you know both of them. And of course, as we discussed in the presentations, the term coupon comes from the days long ago when the bonds had coupons attached to them. And you can search for images of bond bearers, bearer bonds they were called, bearer bonds, because the person who owned the bond had it in their hands, was the bearer of the bonds, could send in the coupons and get paid the interest. They would send you back a check. Yeah, they don't do that anymore. Now, the current yield is a pretty straightforward formula. You take the annual interest and you divide it by the market price. Well, the way bonds are set up is that virtually all of them have a par value of 1,000, right? So you multiply 9% times 1,000, and that's $90. So you see how easy it is? 7%, $70, 5%, $50. But remember, we get that twice a year. They divide it in half and send it to you twice a year. So if we have a $90 annual interest divided by the market price of $1,200, use your calculator and you will see that that is 0.075. And you can leave it that way. It's fine. That's the right answer. But often we show it as a percentage. So the current yield is 7.5%. The bond's nominal rate, coupon yield, is 9%. But because we had to pay a premium of $1,200, our current yield is only 7.5%. Okay, great. Now, let's move on to number two, where things get a little trickier. Here's a 9% 20-year bond that has a par value of 1,000. All the bonds in our class will always have a par value of 1,000. And a call price of 1,050. What's that call price? Exactly. If they want to call it away from us, if they want to prepay the bond, whoever issued the bond, the corporation or the municipality, the Treasury so far has never issued callable bonds, they're going to have to pay us a call premium of $50 for a call price of $1,050. And there's a call protection period. There's a call deferment period because it is not callable for 5 years. After 5 years, they can call it away. The bond is currently selling for a premium of $1,110. So your job is to calculate the current yield, the yield to maturity, and the yield to call. Well, the current yield is the easiest of calculations, so let's do that one first. If you remember the previous problem, we took the annual interest and divided it by the market price. So in this case, it's a 9% bond, so that's $90 again of annual interest, divided by a market price of 1,110. So if you do that calculation, you get 0.08108101, about 8.1%. All right? Piece of cake, right? Now, one thing I want you to do is use at least two decimal places to the right of your yields. Now, in the first problem, it wasn't a big deal. 7.5% was the exact number. So you don't have to put 7.50%. You could if you wanted to. But in this case, should we just put 8%? No, because you folks from the science world will say, well, that means anywhere from 7.5% up to 7.49%. We should use at least two digits to the right of the decimal place. Sometimes, if you want to be more precise, you could use three. But please use at least two. And I will remind you on the assignment sheet, and I think I do, and in the exam, I want you to see at least two digits, three digits, to the right of the decimal point. And the same, we said the same thing about stock yields, if you remember. We'd like to see two digits. Two is good enough, to the right of the decimal point, when you display it as a percent sign. So 0.08108081 becomes 8.11%. And please learn how to round. If you don't know how to round or if you're confused, contact me or go to the Academic Success Center. You make all of us at Southwestern look bad. Okay. So that was the current yield. All right, now the yield to maturity. Oh, what a scary formula. As we discussed in the presentation, it's really just the same formula as the current yield. But now what we've taken into account is the fact that we are not going to get back what we paid for the bond. If we paid a premium, oh, well, you're not going to get the total amount you paid. You're only going to get $1,000. If you paid a discount, you're going to get that $1,000. Maybe you paid $900 or $800 for the bond. When it matures, you're going to get $1,000. So what we're doing is we're adding a couple of terms to take into account the fact that what we paid for it and what it will repay us are two different things. Now, in this case, we paid a premium, so we're not going to get the $1,110 that we paid for the bond. We're going to get only $1,000. Looking at the formula, you see it's annual interest plus this scary thing, and why don't we put him back? We'll worry about him later on. And then go down below and see that really, instead of dividing by the market price as we did with the current yield, what we're doing is we're dividing the top numerator by the average of the par value, what we will receive, and the market value, what we paid. So you take the par value plus the market value, market price, and divide by 2. So in this case, that's 1,000 plus the 1110 divided by 2. So did you do it? $2,110 divided by 2? And that becomes 1055. So set that aside, and now let's tackle the scary one in the top. Well, annual interest, that's easy. It's a 9% bond. It's paying us $90. But what's this other term over here? Well, this other term is taking into account that every year that bond is going to get closer and closer and closer to the maturity value, the par value of 1,000. Now, the quantity, par value minus market price divided by number of years to maturity, is assuming that it's going in a straight line, that it's moving towards the maturity value in a straight line, which is not a realistic assumption. Interest rates are changing, but it's an approximation, and it's pretty darn good. It gives us a pretty good approximation. So if we take the par value, 1,000, minus the 1110 that we paid for it, that gives us a negative 110. Negative numbers! Can you handle negative? Yes, you can. You just subtract instead of add. So we have a negative 110. And then we divide that by 20 years. It's going to take 20 years for it to go from $1,110 down to $1,000. And it turns out that we wind up with a negative $5.50. And so what is that telling us? Folks, it's actually very simple. It's saying that every year we need to subtract $5.50 from the interest we get because we paid a premium for the bond. So we take the annual interest of $90 and we knock it down by $5.50 every year because that's how much more we had to pay to get that $90. So I know it looks scary, but it's actually very straightforward. And this is the formula that they give you on this, or at least they did when I took the exam, the Series 7. And I'm assuming they're still using it because they don't want you to bring a spreadsheet and and do the more sophisticated calculations because they don't want you to have electronics. At least that's when I took the exam, you could have a simple calculator. In fact, they checked. They made sure it wasn't a spiffy calculator that could store pieces of information. So you're not going to be able to bring your smartphone. No. They're not going to allow you to do that. So now we're down to $90 plus the negative $5.50 that we took away every day, every year. And that's $84.50. Dividing that by the average of the market value and the par value, 1,055, and we get 0.0800947. My calculator does about that many digits, or about 8.01%. So you see the current yield was 8.11%, but because we're not getting the whole $1,110 when the bond matures, we only get, as a yield to maturity, 8.01, which is pretty darn close, right? We're not paying that much of a premium because it's a 20-year bond, and we're going to take advantage of those higher interest payments over 20 years. So sometimes you'll see that the numbers diverge greatly, but that's not that case in this situation. But what happens if they call it away from us? Well, it's the same formula, except what we do is we replace the par value with the call price. In other words, we're not going to get the par value. We're going to get that call premium plus the par value, the call price, which in this case is $1,050. They have to sweeten the deal to take the bond away from us. And we replace the number of years to maturity with the number of years to call. So it's the same formula, folks, except now we have, instead of the par value, 1,000, we now have the call price, 1,050. And instead of the number of years to maturity, we now have the number of years to call. So you have to be careful. You know, you can wind up plugging in the wrong numbers, but if you plug in all those numbers, then you wind up with 0.0722222222. And if you have trouble with that, please contact me. Let's go through it. Am I boring you? I apologize. I don't want to bore you. Let's go through it. The $90 annual interest is the same. But now let's go down to the bottom. I like to do the denominator first because it's a little easier. It's simply adding two numbers and dividing by two. You take 1,050 plus 1,110 divided by 2. That's 2,160 divided by 2, or $1,080. Now, the bad boy in the upper right-hand corner, the call price, 1,050 minus 1,110, $1,110, turns out to be negative 60. And we divide that by 5 years, not 20 years. Remember, we're assuming that, you know, because these people are paying the higher than market price for market interest rate for bonds, they're going to want to call it away from us. They're going to want to refinance. So 5 years, $60 divided by 5 years, a negative 60, gives us a negative 12. So every year we have to knock $12 off the interest. So 90 plus a negative 12, 78 divided by 1,080, and that gives you 0.072222, or 7.22%. So we see that, yeah, if they call it away from us, we're only going to get 7.22%, not 8.01%. Oh, well. Got it? So make sure you can do those. And, of course, there's a second worksheet with the same calculations, and they will be on the assignment sheet, and they will be on the exam. Now, let's turn our attention to taxable equivalent yield, problem number 3. A married couple from California is in the 35% tax bracket, which means they're making about $380,000 a year after all their deductions. Not bad. And the 11% California tax bracket. They are considering, which doesn't really exist, but I just use it for I think it's like 10.9 or something. They are considering a 5% Arizona municipal bond, which is federal tax-free, because remember, they're California residents, and a 4.5% California bond, double tax-free, because they're California residents. And then they're looking also at a 7% corporate bond, which is fully taxable. Remember, corporate bonds always, you pay full tax amount for them. Which bond offers the highest after-tax interest rate? So, we must do the taxable equivalent yield calculations because we can't compare these until we have done those. The corporate bond, do we do any calculations with the corporate bond? No. Don't do any calculations with the corporate bond because if you do, you'll get a sopapo, a dope slap. Don't do them. They're already fully taxable. But the Arizona bond is federal tax-free. And that formula, if you go to your formula sheet, is pretty simple. You take the yield, whatever the bond is paying, in this case 5%, 0.05, and you divide it by 1 minus 0.35, our federal marginal rate, 35%. So 0.05 divided by 0.65 equals 0.07623, are about 7.69%. So right off the bat, we see that the Arizona bond, because it is federal tax-free, is a better deal than the 7% corporate bond. Make sense? Okay, but now we got to take a look at the California bond. And the formula is scary looking. Why? Because it takes into account the fact that most people in this tax bracket have some serious tax deductions, they itemize, and one of the things they're allowed to itemize is their state income tax. But they're not going to pay the state income tax on this bond. So we add the scary looking stuff inside all those brackets to take into account the fact that they're not paying the state income tax. Have I confused you yet? Sorry. Well, the 4.5% bond, take business 21 and chapter 3, we learn about taxes and how the state income tax is tax deductible on your federal income tax, and that's what it's describing. 4.5% is 0.045. That's what the bond is paying. That goes on the top in the numerator. But now we've got to sneak our way all the way into the most innermost parentheses, brackets, angle, whatever they are. And you get 1 minus the federal tax bracket. Well, that looks familiar. That's 0.35. 1 minus 0.35 is 0.65. And then we multiply that times the California bracket. 0.11 times 0.65 is 0.0715. Make sure you've done it. Make sure you've done it. And then we add that to the federal tax rate, 0.35. And we get 0.4215. Then we have to go out and, again, subtract 1 minus that. 1.0 minus 0.4215. And you should get 0.5785. Make sure I did it right. And so that's the result of the denominator. 0.045 divided by 0.5785 is 0.07778, close enough, or about 7.78%, which is the best paying bond out of all of the bonds out there. So you see, we did not know until we did these calculations which bond was paying us the best after-tax yield for this individual couple, for this couple. But now we do. We know that for them, the California bond is the best deal. That's why, if you ran it for somebody who's in the 15 or 10% federal bracket and the 1 or 2% California bracket, you find that probably the corporate bond is a lot better deal. Go ahead and pay the taxes. And that is why muni bonds are very popular with the very wealthy and high net worth, high income investors, because it's worth more to them. Literally, it's worth more to them, and so they're willing to pay more for it. For those of us at the lower end, it's not worth that much. Go ahead, get the corporate bond. Okay, number four. Using annual compounding, find the prices for the following bonds. So first we have a 9% bond, 10 years, that's priced to yield 7%. And then we have a 5% 20-year bond that's priced to yield 8%. Well, before we do the calculations, let's think. 9% bond, we bought it at 9%, but now interest rates have fallen. What should we expect? We should expect a premium bond. We should expect a bond that's selling for more than $1,000. Whereas in B, we have a 5% bond for 20 years that's priced to yield 8%. So interest rates have risen. What should we expect? A discount bond, because prices fall when interest rates rise. Okay, so that's the first thing we should do, just to make sure that we get a values that make sense to us. So now we're going to need the present value tables from the website, from Chapter 9. Okay, and remember, we've discussed these in the presentation. The right side table is basically the same table we used in Chapter 4 when we did stock valuations. So make sure you have that table with you. All right, so the formula is the discounted cash flow model. It's the same idea. To create our predicted price for the bond, we're going to take the present value of the interest income, and that's similar to when we took the present value of the dividend income. And we're going to add to that the present value of the principal repayment, the $1,000 we get when the bond matures. So go to the table. Now, make sure you have that table with you. The present value of the interest income. Remember, we're getting $90. This is a 9% bond. We're getting $90 every year, in this case for 10 years. Now we could use the table on the right, which is the table we used in Chapter 4, but that means we have to do it 10 times. We've got to multiply it $90 times the present value, multiply it for year number one, and then $90 times the present value for year number two. And that'll work, but what a pain in the neck that is. That's why we introduced this new table, the table on the left, which allows us to see a series of payments. What's the present value for a series of payments? So that $90 is going to be multiplied times the present value multiplier for a series of payments. Now, it's 10 years, price to yield 7%. Don't use the 9%. That's what we bought it at, but interest rates now are at 7%. So that's the value we use. Go across 7%, down 10 years, and you'll see 7.024. Everybody see that? Make sure you do, okay? Make sure you do, because that's the trickiest part of these problems, really. It's just figuring out to get the right number. Because some people will use the 9%, and then what you're going to get is a number very close to 1,000, because a 9% bond, price to yield 9%, would sell at par, would sell at 1,000. Okay, I know, bonds aren't that exciting. So $90 times 7.024, that's the multiplier, make sure you got that, gives us $632.17. So think about this. We're going to get $90 for the next 10 years, right? But that's not $900, right? But it's not worth $900 because we're not getting it today. It's only worth to us $632.17 if we assume a 7% rate of return. Now, At the end of the 10 years, we're going to get $1,000. We're going to get our $1,000 back. So we have to do that calculation. That's the second part of the formula. The present value of that $1,000 principal repayment is a one-time payment. That's why we use the table on the right, the same table we used when we did Chapter 4. So go across to table on the right, go across to 7%, or price to yield 7%, down 10 years, and you should see 0.508. You see that? I hope so. Okay, good. Because now we're going to decide what is $1,000 we get 10 years from now worth to us today if we demand a 7% rate of return. So that's 1,000 times 0.508. And some of you can do that in your head. You just move the decimal point, right, 3 to the right on the 508, and you get $508, right? That's how you multiply by 1,000. So that $1,000 that we're going to get 10 years from now at 7% is worth to us today. The present value is worth to us $508. You add the 632.16, the present value of the interest income, plus the present value of the principal repayment, $508, and it turns out that, yes, indeed, it is a premium bond, $1,140.16. It's a 9% bond. Interest rates have fallen to 7%. It's good. It's worth 10. It's good for 10 years. It matures in 10 years. So that price should be very similar to $1,140.16. Now, it might be a little higher, might be a little lower, depending on what's going on in the market. Maybe the company is not in the best of shape, so the investors will demand a discount even to that price. So we don't know. But it should be close to that. And the bond calculations are usually pretty darn close, assuming there's no danger or anything, other types of risk, business risk, default risk. The second one is a 5% bond, 20 years, price to yield 8%. So as we said, interest rates have risen. We should expect the bond to fall in value. And this bond is good for 20 years. So we take the bond price equals present value of interest income and add to that the present value of the principal repayment. So we're going to get $50, right? It's a 5% bond. How much interest do we get annually? $50. A 7% bond, $70. 3% bond, $30. That's how it works. So we use the left table for the interest income. Go across to the price to yield value of 8%. Don't go to 5%. Go to 8%. Go down 20 years, and you should see 9.818. Everybody see that? You sure? So $50 times 9.818 is $490.90. So that interest income we're going to get over the next 20 years is only worth to us $490.90. And doesn't seem right, does it? $50 times 20 years, we're going to get $1,000. But at 8%, it's only worth to us today $490.90. And to that, we're going to add the principal payment of $1,000 that we're going to get in 20 years. And so we use the table on the right. We go across to 8%, down 20 years on the table on the right, a single payment. And we see the present value multiplier is 0.215. Everybody see that? Okay, good. 0.215. So now we multiply 1,000 times 0.215, and most of you can do that in your head. It's $215. But if not, use a calculator. Add the $490.90 to the $215, and you get a bond that's worth about $705.90. Yeah, it's selling at a big discount. Why? Interest rates have risen from 5% to 8%, which is a pretty big rise, and we still got 20 years to go. So people are going to demand a steep discount for this bond. You don't have to sell it. You can just keep getting your interest and get your $1,000 back. But if you needed to sell it right now, you could not get more than about $705 or so for it. Make sense? Okay, the trickiest part is using the table and making sure you use the price to yield number, not the original interest rate. So do these problems over and over and over again. Contact me for help. The assignment is going to be very, very similar. The problems on the exam are going to be very, very similar. You can do it. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern College. We are proud of you.